One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your Tuesday morning gaming news team. My name is Jules Gill, and I'm joined by the only man who I would let oil me up and throw me about the ring. It is Scott Telford.
Very good. I thought you were going to go with an in-the-ring joke there, but he did not.
That would just be crude.
Well, it might be.
Anyway, we're together and that can mean only one thing. It is time to hit that Christmas jingle.
Hot dang, there's news, give it all you got. I guess it's time for Jules and Scott.
Oh, every time. My sciatica. Right, anyway. Today we're talking about something where, you know, the nights are getting colder and darker as it goes on. So let's warm ourselves up by the tire fire that was WWE 2K20.
Still blazing.
The reason it's blazing is because they refuse to basically put any patches out to fix any of the problems. Anyway. The reason that we're talking about it today isn't to piss on something that is already in a state of disrepair.
No.
It's to look forward to the future and ask ourselves a really important question on what is the actual state of the WWE 2K franchise. Mm-hmm. And it's not in good stead at the moment. And it's not just us saying that, you know, sales are down, that it's been critically panned across the board, the fact that they're not putting out very many patches at the moment.
All these things are true.
It is also because of the fact that this has a knock-on effect to what is going to be happening next year, what the team has to deal with you stepping away and things like that. But is it Justin Leeper?
Yeah, it was Justin Leeper.
He was a dev that worked on the previous SmackDown versus Raw games. I think he worked up until WWE 2K12.
And I thought it was SmackDown versus Raw 2011.
I think
either way, it was the old
he worked
one,
up until that one.
Right, he
quit before that. But yeah, he on YouTube, he actually has been talking about his connection to the game and his friends that are still working on that team on Ukes, and basically just had a lot to say.
It doesn't sound very good.
No, not at all.
But yeah, so he's kind of kept in touch with a whole bunch of people from like Ukes and whatever and general states of the project, and his main point is that going forward, because of the reception to 2K20, point one is that a whole bunch of people in double digits have left 2K literally just because they, and in his words, don't want the stink of the project on them anymore.
Saying that they would basically rather be unemployed, and this isn't them moving on to other projects within the company.
It's actually
them just saying, look, I just want to be unassigned from
done.
This.
Like, yeah, it's on fire. I'm sick of being burned every day and I want to be gone.
And to be fair, just to pick apart that point, I can kind of understand why. Because, I mean, being a game dev, we've always said this, that no dev sets out to make a bad game.
No.
Every single person works to the best of their abilities and tries to put out a product that they should be happy with. So they're probably sitting there just watching it go, it's been rushed. We've had, like, you know, all of these pressures from the studio that are telling us that it needs to be out on a certain date and there's no leeway around it. We're not given enough money to do this. We're not given enough time to do anything innovative.
But even then, like, if people, because the thing is, like, he did a follow-up video clarifying that it wasn't people from Ukes that have left, although Ukes did leave before 2K20 even began.
Which we'll get into.
Yeah, we'll get into that stuff. But it was people from 2K that left. But 2K, assumedly, are the ones setting these deadlines in the first place, which makes it even more granular as to which people who are inside 2K are the ones that won't relax the fact that it's an annual release. But then again, that might be on the WWE side as well.
I was about to say, the WWE are notorious for how they sort of stranglehold a lot of their projects. It seems to be that if there is a deadline they want to stick to, it is going to be that, or you need to make it happen.
Yeah, and they've been annualised for as long as we've been alive at this point, like for a long time, I guess. SmackDown 2 or whatever. Anyway, so point one is that people are leaving in double digits from 2K, which obviously drastically affects the overall structure of the team. There's also the fact, he says, that because it's selling so poorly and it's being received so poorly, that will affect the budget for next year's game for 2K21. one.
Which kind of like makes sense, because if you are, if your returns are coming in and they're not as big, then you have to just go, right, we're going to take money away. It's not the smartest plan. It's going to cripple the franchise. But this is the problem that I was talking to you about before, about the issue with annualizing any games. It comes to a point where you have like this bubble expanding and expanding, and it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner, and it is going to burst at some point. It's going to happen. And I swear to Christ, everyone always just says that it's never going to happen to FIFA. It's never gonna, it is going to happen to games like FIFA, because the budgets that they have to spend on the licenses, every year they go to FIFA and they say, how much to rent your license out and your player likenesses. Mm-hmm. And they'll look at the sales that they've done and just go, well, it's going to cost more. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost more. So they have to then cut down on what their money they put into the game, because they have to cut down on that to make sure that they make those budgets.
That kind of happened with the NBA too. Like, obviously, NBA 2K20 was a bit
that's
in terms of its microtransactions. But yeah, the NBA license costs an absolute bucket.
So they had to do that. Well, I say they had to. That's why they chose to go the aggressive microtransaction route, because of the fact that they were so like, well, we've got to make the money.
They were like, that's our only way to recoup the funds, which might be the case for 2K21.
Terrible.
But yeah, going forward, the whole thing with like the fact that it'll affect the budget. He was saying that when he used to work on them annually, like the way that that whole ship is run is that whatever features don't work or whatever things get in the way, one given year, whatever the negative feedback is, all that stuff gets cut for the next year. It's very likely that it's going to get cut for the next year. So you already don't have Ukes on the project because they've left.
Yeah.
You've got Visual Concept, who are a very good dev, but they're balancing it with NBA 2K as well. Mm-hmm. They have the whole budgetary thing as well. And then they're looking to sort of make a game under the 2K umbrella with none of the veteran staff.
It's really disappointing because of the fact that he used the example of when he left, WWE 2K12 was coming into play. Mm-hmm. And they had the Road to WrestleMania was the big sort of single player story mode. Mm-hmm. They had been established in the first three games that it was in, and then 2K12 came in and completely changed how they did it, because he wasn't the lead director or the lead like designer on this area. They then scrapped that feature entirely because it wasn't received well.
Yeah.
Now that's the problem there.
So quickly.
It's because they're not willing to like build upon it. As soon as there's a problem with it, it goes.
Yep.
So that means that in the My Career mode that's been going on for 2K20, which has rightly been laughed at with cheesy dialogue and its terrible sort of acting.
Bent
and it just
sores.
Yeah, exactly. Like all of the bad sort of like puns and stuff they've got in there. Mm. They probably will look at that and go, right, let's cut that out then. That means that they're gonna leave their game anemic. There's gonna be like nothing left.
It's weird, and he compounds it by saying that like, obviously 2K own like every animation, the game engine itself, everything that you associate like with official WWE products comes from them in terms of a video game stance. With Ukes leaving, they're going to do their own thing, but Ukes will be building something from the ground up. So basically, it leaves WWE fans with if they want an official game, it has to come from 2K because they own everything. But you're forever hampered by the budgetary reasons and the fact that they don't have veteran staff. They have an NBA team coming in to try and pick up the pieces and make it get it over the next finish line.
He was saying that after digging through some of the files for 2K20, that there was a lot of the assets that were labelled 2K18. And he said himself that he knew instantly when he was watching it, like, that's an animation from 2K18. They haven't built anything upon that. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the fact that they're not given enough time to go... Like, I imagine that going in and re-recording all of those moves again... It would be a mammoth task to do.
Which is what it's new. I mean, I remember when, because I don't watch wrestling anymore, I check a bit of AEW, but I back in the day, even when it was the sequential SmackDown games across the 2000s, after a while, you noticed the same animations over and over again. Like the same suplexes, the same... that one, where he gets that one.
Scoop slam. Power slam.
Yeah, full Nelson and all that, and Limp Bizkit song. And the same basic animations over and over again.
You've killed me with that. You've killed me with Limp Bizkit.
That's right, and checks that your mouth can't, mouth
just
right
stop.
In there. Checks and your ass can't. Cash chocolate stuffing.
Is a little tidbit for you. Hardy Boys actually used to record the motion capture for it.
Oh really?
They got a secondary page.
Do you remember how terrible Jeff Swanton used to be, where it was just his character model floating through the air, like just stock, and they eventually changed it.
That was how he did do it for a while.
He used to rotate through the air, frozen in time. My point was though that like for the longest time they saw how many sequential games they could get out of one animation, and then they eventually changed it. I remember when the new Swanton came in, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And even things like
what is this?
The one you get the guy and you flip him over and you put him down like that. What's that one?
A tilt-a-whirl slam. one?
No, it's a thing. It doesn't matter. It was a really
a
basic.
Pump handle suplex?
No, it's like a belly to back. I can't...
A belly to back?
Belly
what?
Belly to back suplex is a thing, but it's not what I'm thinking of. Anyway, my point is that they had all these like stock animations that they used over and over and over again. And my point is, in this current day and age, if they were to do that again, if they were to go back in and change everything again, they couldn't do that within a 1 year turnaround.
No.
So I don't know how they do it without taking a year off. Like, even Ubisoft relented and said, look, we'll wait and we'll do a new Assassin's Creed in a couple of years, which allowed that franchise to become relevant again.
Which is interesting because
WWE's never going to let that happen.
They actually, when they did that and they came back with Origins or whatever, they said that they had got like loads of new animations. They literally took time away to actually go and refilm and motion cap everything. Like, there's a definite way for this series to continue. There's a definite way for it to survive. But the problem is, it shouldn't be constantly on the back foot. It should be leading the charge.
It should be the FIFA of wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, well, maybe without the aggressive sort of like
Ultimate Team stuff.
But there is a great game still buried within there. The problem is its foundations are cracked, and instead of repairing them and taking time to do it and doing the old Simpsons foundation home repair thing, they've now decided to do the Homer Simpson foundation repair thing.
Charging
and it's all
umbrella.
Just like sliding into the pit.
God, that's literally it. It's just sort of like, this is how it should be, and then we zoom out and it's like, oh, why does mine look like that?
Like, literally, the meme should be, it should just be like, who's the new developers again?
Visual Concepts
asking Ukes as Bart, just hand me my patching trowel, boy. That's literally
trying to sort
it.
Of put pieces together to resemble something close to a wrestling game. But yeah, that's kind of like the general state of it, is that obviously 2K20 went down terribly. You know, and obviously Visual Concepts, that's another thing, is that the NBA games are brilliant for the most part. They have pretty terrible monetization practices, but they play very well. And that side of it's always championed. And like, the story mode's had some hiccups, but it gets there for the most part.
Because they've been a dev that's been allowed to work on one thing and just actually improve it.
Yeah, and it's like, but now, obviously, because of they have this solid track record, Leaper also points out that it was, they didn't leave of their own accord. They were kicked out by 2K. Which kind of got like, didn't really get sort of focused on when all this stuff was going down. But basically, it seems like they've gone to Visual Concepts and gone, okay, you're a reliable dev, you guys just take over, just make it work. And it's nigh on impossible to just walk into someone else's work and just make it work.
Well, that's entirely the point, because apparently Ukes was still held on as a sort of retainer, consultant.
Yes.
And as Justin pointed out himself, he said that, imagine it's like breaking up with your girlfriend and then your girlfriend coming back to you and saying, do you mind teaching my ex, my new boyfriend, how to do the thing that you used to do with the tongue? And he's just like, I probably wouldn't be as passionate or very willing to do that. I was like, that's a good analogy.
He made a lovely ice cream analogy, but of course he went with the tongue one.
I'm just saying, that's the one I remember.
He talks about if you had two ice creams and you drop one of them and it all gets covered in ants and stuff, you're never going to go back to the ant one. You're going to go forward with the one that's worth licking again.
I'd just buy a new ice cream, to be fair.
You could do, to be honest.
I'd point it and just be like, what are we going to do about this?
That would require giving up on said ice cream and getting a new one, never going to do.
It's not as good an analogy as the tongue one. But anyway, that's so 2K21 is in a bit of dire straits, but if you are a wrestling fan, it doesn't matter, in the sense that there are other games that you can go out there and play. I mean, Fire Pro Wrestling is fantastic, and also AEW will have a wrestling game coming out as well, made by the developers that went way back way and did Warzone Attitude.
Aki Core or whatever. They're now called Sin Sophia. They make games that are nowhere near wrestling games anymore, but back in the day they used to be amazing. The Def Jam games, especially Fight for New York, was the best thing on the planet. And so if there's any of that can come back,
throwing Snoop Dogg out of a window is probably one of my ultimate gaming
or into highlight. A train, you know,
or into a train,
a selection of things. But yeah, if you can bring back that arcade sensibility and ditch the weird half-assed realism that they have in the new games, I would get way back into those wrestling games again.
I just talking about Def Jam just reminded me that one of my favourite characters, Redman, I say characters, he's a real life person, was his little entrance taunt was that, I'm gonna rip your tongue out and lick my ass with it
every time with the tongues and the licking. You can't get away from it.
But there we go, that is the state of WWE 2K20 21, not looking great, but let us know down below what you think about this. Are you happy to see the series go downhill? Are you done with it entirely? Or do you think, like many other people do, that they need to step away for a year and go back and restart things from the ground up?
A year off would be brilliant.
Do you think the WWE would even allow them to do that? Let us all know down below in the comments. If you want to follow me, you can do so at RetroJ with a zero over on Twitter, and you can follow Scott at
@LP89.
You are damn right, you can. Whatever you're getting up to today, hope you have a fantastic day, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.